We're going to look this morning at a very familiar story, but one that I believe very well illustrates this idea of faith promise missions, of giving something for the benefit of others. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When our hearts are clean and our hearts are pure and our hearts are right, Christmas morning or birthday time, we always get a joy and a pleasure out of seeing someone else be excited, someone else having a smile put on their face by something we have given to them. Well, the Lord is the same way. He smiles when we give to Him. And this morning we're going to see a story in John chapter 6 that must have pleased God because of what God did in response to what happened. John chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 14, I believe. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world. A very familiar story, in fact, of all the miracles of Christ done in the Gospels. This is the only miracle that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many of the miracles are recorded in only one of the Gospels. Some are recorded in 2, some, very few, in 3. This is the only one recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Last week when we were out of town at the church, this had no relation to this message, but someone in the church was handing out mathematical formulas for people to have to figure out. And they were mathematical formulas from the Bible. Now, we've already read the story and you know where I'm going, so this is kind of putting the cart before the horse. But one of those formulas was this. 5 plus 2, Nana, you getting this? 5 plus 2 equals 5,000 with a remainder of 12. 5 plus 2 equals 5,000 with a remainder of 12. Now, that's not a real complex Pythagorean theorem. That is simply the explanation of what we've read here. 5 loaves. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes fed 5,000 people with 12 baskets remaining. 12 left over. That's quite a sight. That's quite a miracle. And I want us to look at that miracle this morning as an example of what missions giving is all about. This did not take place in the church. This was not the Sunday morning service. This was not the tithes and the offerings that 1 Corinthians says for us to lay aside on the first day of the week. This was a different kind of giving that sets the example for what we're looking at this morning. Look, if you would, at chapter 6 and verse number 5. And the Bible says that when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? One thing I appreciate, many things, but one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw 5,000 men, that's not counting the women and children. So you've got a great company of at least 10 to 15,000 people. When he saw them coming, he was not puffed up with pride. He was not impressed by the numbers. He was concerned on their welfare. The minute he saw them, his first thought was, these have traveled for days following me to hear what I've taught. They were there for the Sermon on the Mount. They've been there at the other places. I have been teaching them, and they have come unprepared for this long, extended journey. And the first thing the Lord thought of when he saw these multitude of people continuing to follow him to this place, he thought, what are they going to eat? How are they going to nourish themselves? They're going to faint by the wayside. I want you to see that the first thing in this story is that this whole concept of this giving of this young lad with his lunch is it's about compassion. It is about compassion. Not necessarily the compassion of the disciples because they're slow on the uptake. Not necessarily the compassion of the young lad, though we'll see his donation made. But it's the compassion of the Lord. There was a need that needed to be met, and he saw the need. He saw the people as sheep with no shepherd. He saw the people hungered and athirst in the wilderness, and his desire was to do something for that, to meet that need. He was concerned with compassion for the people. Can I say this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, loves everybody in Byesville, Ohio. Everybody. Now, I don't know about you. I don't love everybody in Byesville, Ohio. There's some people in Byesville I don't care for too much. I don't hate anybody. I'm glad to say that. But I don't love everybody in Byesville. But God does. God loves everybody in Guernsey County. That's a pretty good God right there. God loves everybody in the state of Ohio. God loves everybody in the United States of America. But you understand, and you know where I'm going with this, we can't cut the boundary there. We can't say, well, God so loved the United States that he gave his only begotten son. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We heard a wonderful testimony of a pastor from New Guinea that said this morning, thank you for sending a missionary to my country so I could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be concerned. We need to have the compassion that the Lord has, not just for those lost and dying around us, but those around the world. We can do something about those in Byesville. We can do something about those in Guernsey County. We can do something to a certain degree about those even in our state and in our country. But there's very little we can do physically ourselves about those in other countries around the world. We have a track rack back there, and many of you take gospel tracts and leave them in restaurants, gas stations, different places. I noticed the BP station over here removed their track racks. On every pump, they used to have a thing with credit card papers you could take out to fill out credit card. And it was a great place to put a gospel tract in there when you were pumping gas. They've taken them all out. I don't know if it's because of that reason or not. But there are great places you can leave. Now, somebody talked about sticking them in the card reader slots and that. Don't do something dumb like that. But places that you can leave one that's not harmful or stuff. Restaurants, stores, gas stations, everywhere we go. Drive-thrus giving it. We give gospel tracts to people. We invite our friends and our neighbors. We invite our co-workers to come to church to hear the gospel. We're doing what we can to reach our community and people around us. This great push on the pumpkin party on Thursday night. The focus, though there's a lot of things going on that will be fun, the focus is the gospel tracts that so many folks came out and helped wrap around the pieces of candy so that everybody can get one when they come. We do what we can to reach everybody locally, but we can't do anything about New Guinea. We can't do anything in Vietnam. We can't do anything in Bolivia or Brazil because we're not physically there. But God has compassion for those people that live in those countries. And he wants to see them receive the gospel and get saved as much as he wants those in our area and our county and our country to do so. We need the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll not turn there, but the Bible talks about our giving, proving the sincerity of our love. When we think about those in countries, either those that are affluent or those in poverty, whatever the situation is, They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to hear is if somebody gets sent. And the only way that somebody's going to be sent is if we that are here are able to give. Our giving is an indication of our compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitude. This same story tells us in the Gospel of Matthew. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. This missions giving, the reason for this cards and for our donation, however small or large, is because we want to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We can't match God's gift. We can't give what he gave, but we can give what we can. So we see, first of all, in this thing about faith promise, it's about compassion. Notice, second of all, it says in verse number 5, when he saw a great company come unto him. When he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, talking about Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Not only is it about compassion, but it's about a cause. There were 5,000 men plus women and children that were hungered out in the wilderness. Some of them, the most sturdy and strong in their disposition, might have made it back to their home villages, might have made it back. But even in so, it would have been a struggle, it would have been a challenge, for they had wandered for days to come out to hear Jesus Christ, and they had prepared for that journey, but they had not prepared for anything further. They had not prepared for an extended time following Jesus Christ. They had not prepared for their future. They were not aware that they had not prepared for their future. But the Lord Jesus Christ was aware that they had enough for a short period of time, but nothing to last them for the future. Isn't that a description of the world we live in right now? Oh, everything that's going on out there. There are so many causes, so many programs, so many requests for donation and money. Many of us are in a position that we've either gotten rid of our home landline or thought about getting rid of our home landline because it seems the only one that uses it anymore are the telemarketers. Someone calling asking for a donation, and not all of them frivolous. Donations for cancer societies, and without a doubt a good cause. Donations for local police departments and things like that, and again, not without merit, a good cause. Donations for politicians to run for their next office, and I'll skip the good cause on that part. But there are a lot of requests from a lot of people for a lot of things, and they're calling all the time. One of the things that irks me the most is now their ability not to use the landline, but to use our cell phones. And they've gotten even a hold of those numbers. I was talking with someone the other day, and I got a phone call. And it was a 685, which is a local Byesville number, a 685 number. I normally don't answer calls that I don't recognize the number from. But it was a 685, and I thought, well, that's somebody right around here. I'd better call that. It rang, and it went into my voicemail. And before I checked the voicemail, I went ahead and dialed the number back. And I called the number back, and a fellow answered the phone. I said, this is Steve Leafley. I'm returning a call you just made. He said, I didn't make a call. I said, well, I just got a call from this 685 number. He said, well, that's my number, but I didn't make a call. I said, okay, thank you. Sorry to bother you. And I hung up. I went and checked the voicemail. And it was a telemarketer. They had piggybacked on somebody's local phone number to get other people to call that. Isn't that disgusting? Well, that makes you... There are people out there with all kinds of causes and programs and all these things going on. Can I tell you a cause that's better than all of those? Can I give you a program that far exceeds any of those causes that are out there? And again, not all those causes are bad. Some of them are worthwhile and worthy. But the greatest cause in the world is for other people to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. For them to get tired of religion. For them to know there's more than just church attendance. And to find out they can have a personal relationship with the God of heaven that sent his son to die on the cross for their sins so they might have eternal life. These folks weren't prepared for the future. They were only thinking about right then, the next few days, having enough food to get by. They weren't thinking ahead to know they needed something for somewhere down the line. And most folks today are living from day today, today, thinking about maybe tomorrow or next week or maybe even next year or in the areas of retirement or financial stability, thinking about the next 10 or 20 years, but they're not thinking about 100 years from now and 200 years from now and 1,000 years from now and 10,000 years from now. We have in our bodies a never-dying soul, and it's going to spend eternity somewhere. And there is a cause. There is a reason why giving to missions far exceeds any other cause we could give anything to. It's about compassion. It's about a cause. Then look, if you would, here in John chapter 6. And this he said to prove him, talking about Philip, for he himself, the Lord, knew what he would do. He was going to have to feed 5, 10, 15,000 people. Can I tell you right off the bat, that's not a problem for him. He fed 2 million Jews wandering through the wilderness in the Old Testament. How did he do that? Well, when they whined and complained about not having anything to eat, he rained down quail from heaven. Quail fell right out of heaven, enough quail to feed 2 million people. And it just fell down to the earth, and they had fresh roadkill right there on hand to eat that day. In fact, they ate so much, the Bible says, that they were so full in their stomachs and it was just coming out of their mouths, that basically when God wants to feed somebody, he can feed them to the full. He doesn't need anybody else to do it. One of the things the devil said in tempting Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he said, I command thee, Jesus, turn these stones into bread. You know why? He knew he could do it. He knew he could do that. He wanted him to do it at his command. Satan and Jesus rebuked him for it. But he had to. Here he's got 10, 15, 20,000 people. I don't know what it is. Out there ready, hungry to eat. And Jesus could have fed them any time he wanted to, by any means he wanted to. But he chose to do it a different way. He chose for somebody to make, and here's our third word, a contribution. Compassion. A cause. And a contribution. God wants to reach the world with the gospel. He could do it without you. Can I be honest? He could do it without you. He could send an angel down from heaven, as he's going to in the book of Revelation in a future time and dispensation. He could send an angel down from heaven writing a message across the sky about him to proclaim the gospel. He could do that if he wanted to, but that's not how he chose to do it. Just like he didn't choose at this time to rain down manna from heaven, he doesn't choose to write writing in the sky. He chooses to use individual people who don't have a lot to give, but are willing to give. Notice verse number 9 verse 9. Verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. And that word lad, I've circled that in my Bible. That word lad is kind of Andrew's way of, before he even says anything, saying, there's somebody here, but it's not a man. It's not a disciple. It's not anybody of any importance. There's a lad here. And it's not a disdain in his voice, but it's just a hopelessness of the situation. He says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. Now we're talking about his lunch. All right, this boy's got his day. He's going out fishing. I don't know what he's doing, but his mom packed him a lunch. So the loaves are like oversized biscuits. They're big pieces of bread. They're not big loaves of bread, but they're little oversized biscuits. He's got 5 loaves in his lunch pail, as it were, and 2 fishes. And he says, but what are they among so many? Oh, I love that. Look at all the people that are sitting down by the sides. Look at all those that are sitting in the grass by companies. And when you look upon all those people, and here's a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish, what are they among so many? You know, it's the same feeling you and I can have when we look at a world that's dying and lost without Christ. They've got everything else in the world. They've got struggles, they've got troubles, they've got necessities, they've got all that, but above everything else, they need Jesus Christ in their heart. They need to hear the gospel of Christ. And we say, who am I? What can I do? How do I have an impact on such a big thing? Well, you know those telemarketers and fundraisers that call you and ask for $10 or $20? They know the importance of little. And that's all this boy had to give. He didn't have a week's worth of food with him. He didn't have days worth of food with him. He had a lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And even the disciple himself said, what are they among so many? Oh, and what is the answer? Well, we know what's going to happen with that. But notice his contribution. It was small. It seemed insignificant. It seemed unimportant. But in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which seems so small can be so big. That which seems so insignificant can be so powerful when it's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the hands of the boy, even in the hands of the disciples, you know what it was? It was a lunch for one kid. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But in the hands of Jesus Christ, it was much more than that. Missions is about compassion. It's about a cause. It's about a contribution. Fourthly, verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now in the other Gospels, in Matthew and in Mark, the Bible tells us this. When it says, make the men sit down, that the disciples went and made them sit in companies of 100 and companies of 50s. So there was an organization to this thing. They weren't all just scattered on the hillside and it was a free-for-all when the baskets of food came down. It was an organized distribution system. All right, the world understands what that means. It was an organized distribution system. These 12 disciples were about to go through 12 with 12 baskets full of bread. The Lord took that bread, he broke it, he prayed over it, and when he put it into the baskets, I mean, you can just imagine, the baskets kept getting filled. It's like that widow's oil back in the days of Elijah, where she kept scraping and scraping, and more of it came out, if you're familiar with that story. Here the Lord is breaking bread, and it's multiplying in the basket. He puts a couple pieces in there, and it multiplies. Another basket, and it multiplies. And they get enough to feed all those people out there in an organized distribution system, going through the rows and between the people, making sure everybody got their portion and everybody got fed. And the Bible says that all of them ate till they're full. That's a great system. It's organized. Let me say this. It's about coordination. When it comes to this thing about missions and the thing we see, it's about a coordinated effort. It's about coordination. Here's the thing. We have an advantage over the telemarketers because we gather together every Sunday. We get to see one another face to face. We get to fellowship with each other. We get to be a family. We get to enjoy one another's company. We get to sing together and pray together and give together and worship together and learn together from the Word of God. This is the most precious grouping in all the world. And when we get together, then we can give together and be a blessing to one another and be an encouragement to one another. We have the advantage. And we can give in a coordinated effort. If every one of us individually did that which is right in our own eyes, these missionaries would not be supported. If everybody said, well, I'll do what I feel led to do, and you do what you feel led to do, and he'll and she and all that, and we'll just all throw it in the same pot and see what happens. It doesn't work that way. But when we all give in a coordinated effort, and we pass those plates on a Sunday evening, or if you give the missions on Sunday morning, and it goes in there, and it goes back into the office, and the treasurer sits down and puts all the missions aside together, and then we put the deposits in on Monday or Tuesday, and then at the end of the month, he writes a check to all the different missionaries through their missions agencies, and they get those checks in, and they take our $75, along with the other number of churches that support that one missionary, and at the end of the month, send that missionary that big amount so he can pay his mortgage payment wherever he's at, and feed his family, and take care of the expenses. When it's all organized together, it works fine. But when there's a breakdown any along the way, it doesn't work good. Don't make the breakdown at the beginning. We have an organized coordination system, a coordinated effort of how to do it. The Lord broke the bread. The disciples distributed it to the people. and the multitude got fed. There's an organized system to it. It's coordinated. Then lastly, I want you to see this in verse number 12. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, let nothing be lost. And the Bible tells us in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That boy, that lad, gave a lunch. He gave 5 barley loaves. You know what was left when it was all done? 12 baskets full of food. The leftovers were greater than what he gave at the very beginning. After Jesus multiplied it and fed the thousands of people, after they were all fed to the full, there was still more left over than what had been given originally. You know why God didn't do it himself by raining manna from heaven? You know why he didn't do it by turning the stones to bread? Because he wanted others to be involved. And he wanted others to reap the benefit. Those that were fed were benefited by it. Those that distributed the baskets, the disciples that walked through those different ranks of 50s and 100s, later on, after the Lord's resurrection, they remembered how he fed the 5,000. They remembered the miracles that he did. After he'd been crucified, buried, and risen again, to the lack of their understanding, when they put it all together, they remembered that event. But you know who I think benefited the most? And the Bible doesn't tell us this, it's not clear, but this is just the way I see it. Where did the 12 baskets full of leftovers go? I think they went to the boy's house. I think when they went through those ranks and gathered all the leftovers and got 12 baskets full of fragments left over, I think they followed that lad back home that day, walked into his mother's house, and set those 12 baskets full of bread there and say, ma'am, you've got enough to eat here for a long time now. Where did that come from? How did that happen? And again, I'm just projecting that it went this way because the Bible doesn't say it. But those disciples could say to that woman, your son gave little and he's received much. There is a compensation. That's our fifth word. There is a compensation when we give to the Lord. Now again, we're not talking about you invest and you get a dividend. We're not talking about putting in to get interest. We're just talking about a heart full of compassion that sees that there is a cause, that wants to make a contribution through a coordinated effort, which is the church, and receive a compensation. The compensation might be collective, as I've already said, the building in which we sit, the blessings upon which God has given us, the fellowship we have one with another. And over the years, very few problems or trials or troubles that have come along our way. Or the compensation, it could also be individually among different church members that have seen the hand of God and the blessing of God, not because of their tithing, because it's required, but because of this missions giving with a heart of compassion, understanding the need, and we give. God will take care of those who see the need. God will take care of those whose hearts go beyond themselves. Our 401ks, our retirement funds. And again, those are necessities in life. I understand that. But when we look beyond that to see the need, the greater need of a world without the gospel, and we give for that, God will compensate. And boy, is he ever able to. 12 baskets full when he only gave 5 little loaves in the first place. God can take care of it. Bow your heads with me if you would as you remain seated this morning. But bow your heads with me if you would, and would you pray right now with that card in your hand? Looking it over and asking God what he would have you to do to give for missions. Again, those of you that are like myself that have been involved in this for a long, long time, it's not anything new. We know what we've been giving. We know what we've been giving. And God has taken care of us. Is it time to step up? Is it time to increase? We talk about a cost of living increase at raise time for employees. Is it time to increase what we give to the Lord in the area of missions? That's between you and God. It really is none of my business, and I don't want it to be my business. I've got enough of my hands to take care of between me and the Lord to not have to worry about you and the Lord. But what would God have you to do? Maybe this is new to you. You get excited when you hear the preacher preach about it because emotionally we say, yes, I want to do what I can. And maybe we're tempted to write down something that's not feasible or plausible. But would you prayerfully right now consider what God would have you to write down on that paper in front of you, to put in the offering basket here in just a few minutes, that you would promise to give so that we might not only be faithful to the missionaries that we already support, but that we might be able to multiply the number of missionaries we support by your giving. Father, this morning, we thank you, God, for the country in which we live. God, there's nobody in this auditorium that came to church hungry unless they chose to do so. There's nobody here that'll go the rest of the day hungry unless they choose to do so. There's nobody here, Father, that had to scramble and look for clothes because they don't have enough or anything to wear to go to church. Most all of us, Father, have no problem with our transportation to get here, putting gas in the tank, the insurance to pay for the automobile, the maintenance on the car, whatever it is to get us here. Lord, you have blessed us in this country. Father, only those that have experienced life in other countries can truly appreciate what simple things we have that are far beyond the means of many other people in this world. God, we can't meet their needs. We can't give them automobiles and cars and food. But we can send a missionary that'll give them something that'll feed them for eternity. We can send someone that'll take the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach to them. Lord, like Brother Saka that's with us this morning, that Father, one of those men and one of those countries would hear the gospel and be called to the ministry themselves, and Father would do a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have a part by the little that we contribute. God, what a unique privilege is ours. I pray, Father, you'd speak to hearts this morning. God, if hearts are tight and, Lord, they just don't want to give, Father, we pray you just work on their heart and show them the need and the cause. Father, for those that are so willing and so able, Father, bless that we might do all that we can to lay up treasure in heaven, not down here on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt. Speak to hearts this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.